at chtoyota.com or the corner of Deerfoot and Country Hills.
Oh, I will. Thanks for the tip.
You're listening to CFAC 960 AM Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. This is a Sportsnet Connected update on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It was a tough fought game, but they couldn't pull it out. Flames dropping a 4-3 shootout decision to the Dallas Stars at the Saddledome last night, despite the strong play of defenseman Derek Englund.
Derek Englund with a howitzer from the right point. And after going 77 games without a goal, he scored twice tonight.
Englund happy the Flames could hold on to their spot as the final playoff team in the Pacific Division, 1 point ahead of the Idle Kings.
Every point's going to count at the end. It's a tight battle with a lot of teams, so we'll take every point we can get.
Next up, Calgary hosts Minnesota tomorrow night. Elsewhere, Edmonton edged out Colorado 4-3, and Philadelphia stomped Chicago 4-1. Another impressive outing for Jays rookie hurler Daniel Norris in grapefruit action yesterday. He went 6 strong innings, surrendering just 1 earned run, striking out 7 as the Jays win 5-2 over their divisional birdie rivals, the Orioles. Aaron Sanchez hoping to have similar success today. He takes the bump for the Jays as they take on the Phillies and Cole Hamels. And March Madness gets going today with the Sweet 16. Many eyes will be on the late matchup of Kentucky versus West Virginia. The Wildcats looking to go a perfect 40-0 this season. They'd be the first top-level men's team to pull off that feat since Indiana did it way back in 1976. And the Raptors losing to Chicago yesterday, but still back their way into clinching a playoff berth, thanks to losses by Charlotte and Boston. For scores and more, head over to sportsnet.ca/960.
Brought to you by Affordable RV Calgary. If you want a more comfortable camping experience, stop dreaming about it and start towing it with Affordable RV Calgary. Visit affordablerv.com.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than thin coming our way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. One hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I asked the Doughboy with you, Bruce Dobigan, all this week. Rob Kerr returns on Monday. He's off roaming around somewhere in Montana. He missed a pretty good game last night. As the poet would have said, there will forever be a corner of this world that is forever Englund. Derek Englund last night, first 2 goals of the season. It was a high-wire act. The 2 goals helped the Flames get into overtime. Unfortunately, of course, losing to Dallas in the overtime. A hot team in Dallas, definitely, getting the 1 point. So now they sit 1 point ahead of the LA Kings for third place in the Pacific, and 1 point behind Winnipeg for that second and final wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Unfortunately, only 5 points now ahead of Dallas. It was a chance to put Dallas away for good last night. Couldn't do it in the shootout. One of those games that you look back on and small moments, some small things, some handling of the puck and a couple of the goals by the Flames as they got themselves down 2-0 and then 3-2. Fought back, showed what they've done all year as the Cardiac Kids. But not having enough in the shootout to win it. So they are now headed onto the road tomorrow night in Minnesota, 6 p.m. Puck drop right here on the Fan at 960. A busy day here today as the team heads off on the road. 12:25, we're going to talk to Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province. Have the Vancouver fans forgiven the Canucks for last year? Are they on board with this team? Are they still holding back? And can the Canucks hold on to their elevated spot as they head towards the playoffs? They look like they're in for the playoffs. A little later this hour on Hockey Central at Noon, we're going to have Brad for Living, the general manager of the Flames, talking a little bit earlier after the skate today, talking about a couple of people. A signing, which we'll tell you about coming up shortly as well. A junior player that the Flames have signed. 1 o'clock, Greg Zahn joins us, the voice of the Blue Jays, at least the analyst for the Blue Jays on Sportsnet TV. We'll talk to him about the Blue Jays about 10 days now until the opening of the regular season for the Blue Jays. We'll talk to him about Daniel Norris and lots, lots more. Always lots of fun to talk to Zonnie around the NHL at 125, and then we'll hear some more stuff from the Flames after the practice today. A little bit later in hour two, Pat Steinberg joins us at 2 o'clock. Won't be quite as busy as it was yesterday. It was like the drive-through at Timmy's here yesterday. The number of people we had here, George Strombolopoulos was through here. We had all sorts of guys from the UFC who were through here. So it'd be a little bit quieter today, a little bit chance to stretch things out. And when we want to have a kind of a broad-ranging discussion, nobody better than to get our friend Peter Labardius.
Flames insider Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. GeminiGroup.ca.
And we're joined now by Peter Labardius. Lou, last night, we see a lot of games over the course of the year. What stands out last night? Why was last night an important night for the Flames?
Well, I think they're all important nights, but I guess what stands out to me, and Derek Wills and I were just chatting about it here on our drive on the way to the airport, is in a season for the Flames of, if you will, a lot of improbables, unbelievable comebacks, think about this, Bruce. If this team ends up earning a playoff spot when it's all said and done in the next 2 weeks by 1 point, a big part of the 1 point comes from Derek Englund's first ever multi-goal game in the league. Scores last night for the first time in 78 games dating back to March 7th of last season. Those were career goals, 14 and 15 in a 311th NHL game. So in many ways, that's what I'll take away. And overall, just the ability on a night, and we talked about it last night in our post-game show, when I reflect back to the Columbus game last Saturday afternoon, that's a game where you leave the rink and you're really disappointed because you really feel in so many ways like you played well enough to earn two. Last night, in a lot of ways against a very good Dallas team, had you come away with nothing, that could have been the result that was warranted. But instead, you end up with one in each game.
Yeah, that would have been a bitter pill to swallow. I was watching the game last night, and we talked about this briefly before the show. Listening to the radio yesterday, a guy was on ESPN radio talking about how football now, the sport of football has opened up. You know, it's a passing game. They've completely changed the way football is. It used to be a running game, now it's a passing game. Talking about basketball, how basketball has been completely opened up, three-point shooting. It's a different game. It's evolving to a different game. And I was thinking, as great as the athletes are in hockey, and as spectacular as the speed is, et cetera, and as hard as the hitting is, I wonder, and sometimes I see Johnny Gaudreau who defies this, but I just wonder if someday we're going to be able to take the box off hockey and do the same thing to hockey as we've seen in those two sports, and maybe get back to the 200-foot game that we used to see in the 80s and 90s. What's your thought about that?
Well, I'm probably somewhere in between, Bruce, just because I'm not someone who gets caught up a lot and you need a certain amount of goals. I guess I just enjoy the game so much that, you know, whether it's 1-0 or 2-1 or 4-3 or 7-6, I always usually find something to really appreciate. And yet, I understand there's a lot of people and viewers and, you know, when you think about a younger audience that, I'm sure goals, and certainly to me, it's not always about goals. It's about offensive activity in many ways. And I think, and we touched on it yesterday or the day before, I do think the game already is changing in the sense that, you know, and I don't just say this about Johnny Gaudreau. We even talked about it in regards to how I think people are starting to, you know, set up their teams on defense where, you know, I don't think you had to go back, Bruce, very long to think about everybody needed 6'3", 6'4", you know, 220-pound, 4 or 5 really hard, nasty guys to play against. And now I think it's going to make a change in the game in terms of more creativity. I think now more than ever, it's more about your skating ability, your puck-moving ability, to the point where I think when teams are structuring their groups, Now it's more about potentially four good puck movers and two big, strong, steady guys, which I think will help. Removing, you know, the red line again. You see, I love these discussions because they're fascinating, but right now you've got people that want to open the game and have even more chances, and yet, you know, people in the game are going, well, we've done nothing but that, and we've done it to a certain extent at the cost of health of our defensemen, because you can't hold up anybody anymore. You get longer runs into the zone on forechecks. So, you know, I have to admit, Bruce, I'm a little split, and I'm a bit of a dinosaur that way and a hockey lover that way, that right now I don't think a whole lot is wrong with the game, and I don't think it requires a lot of fixing. And with that, I think you always have to beware of doing it. And even with some of the things that I've talked about, I think those changes, Bruce, have paved the way for the Johnny Gaudreaus, the Cam Atkinsons, you know, the smaller, more creative people, because of now more focus on speed and skill.
Talking with Peter Loubardias, our hockey insider here on Hockey Central at noon. Listen, you're a guy who understands the game on the whiteboard. You can talk about how it's drawn up, etc. I'm not as much into that type of thing.
Well, I'm learning. I'm trying to get better at it. I've got a long, long way to go. Thank goodness I've got a lot of friends in hockey who don't mind giving me a few pointers.
Well, you're educating our listeners, you're educating me when you talk about these kind of things. I think that one of the things that I guess I'm talking about when I watch an NHL game, now if you root for the crest and you're a Flames fan and they win, everything's right with the world, etc. I guess I'm talking about a bigger picture. It just seems like to the average fan, every team is playing the same style. You know, we used to have the Montreal Canadiens and the Philadelphia Flyers had different styles. The Canadiens used to have a different style against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Chicago Blackhawks, maybe they're a little bit different. I just wonder when we're going to see the clash of styles and the clash of philosophies again in the NHL, because it seems like to win the Stanley Cup, you got to be the best team at playing the system that everybody plays.
I concur with that in so many different ways. I think there is a couple of different philosophies. There's no question when you watch the Los Angeles Kings, winners of two of the last three Cups, and the Chicago Blackhawks, who have won two Cups since the year 2010, I do think there is some contrast. But by and large, Bruce, the way teams go about their best business, systems-wise, breakout-wise, penalty-killing, you know, and you said to me as I was walking out of the hot stove lounge this morning, you want to fix the game and make it more creative? Go back to one coach and get rid of video. You know, in all sincerity, these people do such an amazing job of breaking down the sport and preparing their players. And that goes, listen, it goes all the way down the ladder. This past Sunday, Bruce, I was asked to do a little speaking at the final of the provincial AA Pee Wee Hockey Championship. You cannot even believe how well structured, system-wise, that those kids are in this day and age. You know, it's just amazing at all levels. And I think in many ways, and I love your point, that there did, in a lot of ways, used to be more contrast. And yet, you know, hockey and moving sports, don't you think even in football and hockey, like, copycat is really a big thing. You know, something works, and now it's the template that works, and now everybody's kind of looking for not the exact version, but a version of it. I guess to a certain extent, and I wouldn't say I get frustrated by it, but and I completely understand it. I don't know sometimes why we have so many discussions about what's wrong and how things need to change, and maybe they do, okay? I get it. I'm getting older, for sure. Feel it every single day these days. And maybe I'm a bit of a dinosaur in that respect, but I don't know. Sometimes I just like to focus more on...
I hear you.
I don't think the game needs to change a lot, but your point is a great one in terms of, yeah, I'm not sure when we get back to more contrasting styles. The one thing I would say, Bruce, and I don't know if this would, would ever make it that way. But I remember David Branch having an interesting conversation with myself and Sam Cosentino, probably would have been 10 years ago. And it was about buildings and ice surfaces. And David's idea at the time, and I haven't addressed it with him or anybody else recently for a long time, but as you know, every new building is exactly, you know, it's 200 by 85. You could potentially create some different styles and strategies for teams in the league if, let's say, you set a maximum and a minimum in terms of, like, ice size and what you could do with it. Because, as you know, they're both in the right kind of vintage. Games were different at the Boston Garden or at the Odd in Buffalo than they were, you know, in different buildings. So, you know, maybe one way to have more contrasting teams and styles is, you know, maybe you open it up a little bit with new buildings now and you say, listen, you've got to be at least 200 by 85, but maybe you could go to 205 and 95 in terms of, you know, length and width, and maybe that creates some differences. And now I know I throw that out and people are going to go, well, we don't like that because it needs to be all the same from a competitive standpoint. And to a certain degree, I don't agree with that.
Baseball's never had that problem. As long as you are within some very broad parameters in baseball, you can configure your baseball park however you want. The Detroit Tigers went from a hitter's park to a pitcher's park. You can do those things in those sports. Now, I'm not an endless tinkerer. I'm not one of these guys who every summer gets there and says, well, how can we mess around with hockey, et cetera? I'm not one of those. I don't even really believe in expanding the rinks too much more because the area in front of the net is where all the action's going to be, no matter how wide the net is. So I'm not an endless tinkerer, but as I say, taking the top off the game so that the Johnny Goodrows can really thrive and those guys can really thrive and we can see as much of them and their genius as possible. And look, I don't blame the coaches for trying to coach these guys out of it. I don't blame them for trying to find a way to shut these guys down as best they can. This is where it gets back to the league. And as I said to you earlier today, the NFL, they look at it every year. If they get below 30 points per game in scoring, they change the rules because they want scoring. They want opportunities for scoring. And I guess with the NHL, I want to see that. Now, last night's game, lots of scoring opportunities. It was just a great, fun game. I don't care if you're a Flames fan or otherwise. But I want to see the opportunities. I want to see the skill guys get a chance to be the skill guys.
Yeah, and Bruce, I agree. But and let me ask you this in return, because I'm always fascinated by your opinion. Don't you think the game has made some strides since the clutching and grabbing era in that respect?
It has. I mean, you know, what's interesting, and we don't talk about it that much, but teams coming out of the lockout last time when they were penalizing guys for sort of looking at a guy's gloves sideways, you were averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 power plays a game per team. And there were teams, and the Vancouver Canucks come to mind immediately, who prospered in that system. And you don't get those chances now. You don't get that number of power plays per game. And if you key your team around your special teams scoring that way, it's going to be difficult for you. It's a 5-on-5 league again. There's lots of stuff that's in there that's good. And again, this is not a condemnation of the coaches and the general managers, et cetera. But the idea that you want to see, you know, those opportunities, you want to see some scoring. It doesn't even have to be scoring in an uneven situation like a power play. The other thing I suggested to you was perhaps you can't play zone in your own defense 5-on-5. Maybe you have to play man-on-man in hockey. The NBA went to that for a long time, and it helped increase scoring. If you want to have Johnny Goodrow covered in the defensive zone, you got to put a guy on who can stay with him. You can't just do a zone thing. Anyhow, these are all just some ideas that I'm throwing out there that you see from other sports that maybe would do that. And if you love the Flames crest, none of this means anything.
No, it's true, but it is. It's a fascinating discussion, and that's why we have this forum. And I'm, you know, even through all the years, you know, at one point I was a much larger proponent of going to bigger ice, but I've conformed and changed my idea for the exact reason that you talked about. It's about the scoring area, and the bottom line is, Bruce, is as we talked about before I even left the building today, how do you increase the scoring area? Because in the wider 100-foot ice, well, there's more room, you know, in the neutral zone, there's more room potentially to break out of your zone. But then teams just kind of pack back into that middle. But I don't know, unless you go to more of a ringette format where there's areas on the ice where you can go or can't go into, I don't know how else you do it. And yet,
When Whitey Stapleton went down to block a shot, he wasn't a very big target. But when you get a defenseman who's 6'8" like Zdeno Chara, and he gets down around ice level or sprawls on ice level to block a shot, that's an entirely different thing that I'm sure the founders of hockey didn't envision. Hey, listen, before I let you go, and I know you guys are headed to the plane, just to look forward to the road trip, 5 games, the next 3 games in the next 4 nights, just your sense of the key game here. Is it the opening one? Do they have to set a tone in Minnesota tomorrow night? Is it Dallas? I mean, just give me your sense of this road trip.
No, I think it's the first one, Bruce. I really do in this situation. I think it's so important on almost any trip, but this one I think more so than any of the trips that they've had. And don't forget, this season has been nothing but long road trips and long homestands. But I think more than ever, that opening game tomorrow night in Minnesota, with every game meaning more, as even Brad Treliving addressed today, and I'll let him finish it, and I know we're running out of time anyway, you can sense even the last 2 or 3 games, Bruce, it's different now. The tension, every single shift. You know, you go a long time, and the cliche stays, no game's more important than the other. But the games are different now. You can absolutely feel it and sense it. So for me, getting off to a good start tomorrow night, that is the absolute focus and the big game on this trip.
Yeah, that was a hell of a hockey game last night. If you wanted to take somebody to introduce them to the game and tell them what's good about the game, last night was a lot of fun, no matter who you were rooting for. And at least the Flames got away with a point. And listen, they're still in the position where they control their own destiny. That's all you really want. Pete, fly safe with you guys, and we'll talk to you later. Tell Wills he forgot his book here, and I'll just give it to somebody who cares.
Okay. I certainly will.
Thanks
and he has asked about it. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Okay. I'll see you. Take care. There you go. Peter Lombardius says the Flames head to the plane, head to Minnesota for tomorrow night's game. 6 p.m. puck drop with Derek Wills and Peter Lombardius. 5 p.m., of course, the pregame show starts. And we will be at Shank South tomorrow. We'll be heading over to see Sammy and the boys over at Shank South, bringing you all the action. Come on by. Come on by and see us as we do the show. We're always excited to see you. As I say, 1 point behind Winnipeg, 1 point ahead of L.A. That's controlling your destiny for the Flames. A tough road trip, but everybody's got a tough road trip at the moment. L.A. Kings tonight in the New York area. They are playing the Islanders. That used to be a walkover. Certainly not a walkover anymore. We'll see if the Kings keep the magic up from Madison Square Garden the other night. Certainly a lot of heads will be pointed that way. Another team that's in front of the Flames, not that far, but starting to get ahead of them, maybe that they can't catch up them, the Vancouver Canucks. And we've talked all year. Who's the team that falls out of this? Vancouver, Winnipeg, the Flames, Nashville. These are all the teams that were unsung coming into the season. Who was going to be the team that was going to fall out of this? A lot of people thought it was the Vancouver Canucks. They're sitting there at 90 points. We'll talk to Ben Kuzma from the Vancouver province and ask him if the city of Vancouver has finally forgiven the Canucks. That's all coming up here on Hockey Central at noon. Back after this.
Flames insider Peter Lombardi is brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. GeminiGroup.ca.
Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning. Jim Rome, Hockey Central, The Big Show, and tons of play-by-play. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Off the Ice with Strombo and Merrick. Brought to you by Rogers NHL Game Center Live.
Finally, George has returned to this feature. Yes, Strombo has been out west, but we have made connection with him. Why is he out there? We'll tell you in a moment. Yeah, we'll get to you, Strombo. Pipe down.
Hi, Mark Messier here with the Cameron family, who share a love of hockey. They have a share everything plan with Rogers so they can watch Rogers NHL Game Center Live from anywhere.
That's right. Jenny watches on her smartphone at the cafe, Jimmy at the library, and Jason on the bus.
So a family that likes to travel with the team.
Oh, we love road games.
Nice.
This season's pass subscription to Rogers NHL Game Center Live is free for our Share Everything customers. Standard data overages and roaming charges, blackouts, and other restrictions apply. See rogers.com/NHL.
First of all, George, welcome back. We love Elliot. We love Shanny, but it hasn't been the same. What are you doing out west, bud?
Well, Jeff, are you familiar with the concept of making amends? I'm just kidding. You know, with the Western Conference being so tight and the games so incredible, I wanted to come out and check out the Canucks and the Flames and the Winnipeg Jets playing the Habs, all that happening over the course of the week. So I wanted to see the games. But on Monday specifically, I was able to co-host with the great, the legend, Scott Oak, the Vancouver, the Canucks for Kids Fund Telethon, which was so amazing. Over $500,000 raised for a bunch of different children's charities in British Columbia, including a place called Canuck Place. I know a lot of every team has their own fund and their own thing, but people need to all go to see the work being done at Canuck Place for kids in need and the families, and it'll change your day. And I think every team should build something like that in their town. That's what I've been doing, Jeffrey.
Well, that's really nice. And you got to work with the, as I like to call him, the broadcaster's broadcaster, because deep down inside, I think we all want to be Scott Oak, George.
No kidding. Man, the guy is so funny that it's hard to keep your business together just before you go to air. But yeah, it's been an absolute blast, and I can't wait to see you again on Saturday.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, proud home of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. We've got your way into the dome for every Flames home game. Fan Club members, use your points to enter to win great seats to Flames hockey. Enter often, it's easy and free. Sportsnet.ca/960 to become a Fan Club member. Flames tickets from Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
New Budweiser Red Light pitchers and glasses at Boston Pizza. Watch them light up when your Calgary Flames score. Visit participating Boston Pizza restaurants on a Calgary Flames game day for your chance to win a VIP trip for two to a Flames road game. Catch all the Calgary Flames action at Boston Pizza for your chance to win with Budweiser. Must be at least 21 years of age with a valid Canadian passport to enter. No purchase necessary. Some restrictions apply. See in store for details. Budweiser and Boston Pizza are proud sponsors of the Calgary Flames.
What type of advertiser counts on Sportsnet 960 to deliver results? All types.
Hello, this is Alamine from Okotoks Honda. It's helped us tremendously because we're reaching markets in Calgary, Okotoks, and surrounding areas that we never had access to before.
Would you recommend Sportsnet 960 to other advertisers?
I would recommend Sportsnet 960 to other advertisers, and actually I have recommended them. It's helped us tremendously, and I'm sure it'll help you.
Advertising on Sportsnet 960 works for Okotoks Honda. Call the Sportsnet 960 sales department at 291-0000.
How much weight does a player carry? He carries the weight of an entire city. He carries the weight of 22 brothers. He carries the incredible tonnage of his own boyhood dream. And ultimately, if he's good enough,
the 2015 Stanley Cup champion.
He carries the weight of 34 and a half beautiful pounds of polished silver. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin April 15th with Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. Don't miss a moment.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is home for the Fan Club. An easy way to reward yourself for listening to your sports radio. Collect points by entering the Secret Seats. Hear the Secret Seats weekdays at 7:25 a.m., 9:25 a.m., 1:25 p.m., 4:25 p.m., and 9:25 p.m. It's easy and free. The Fan Club Secret Seats are brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive North. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary's hockey station.
The Calgary Roughnecks Lacrosse Party returns to the Scotiabank Saddledome this Saturday at 7 p.m. as your Roughnecks take on the Toronto Rock for Redneck Night.
Sponsored by TCL Construction.
Visit CalgaryRoughnecks.com for tickets and information.
Come for the party, stay for the game.
This is Jen.
Hi.
She has an amazing job at one of the busiest firms in the city.
Love it.
Unfortunately, she works pretty tight deadlines. Luckily for Jen, when she's not meeting deadlines, she's meeting fun new people at the Calgary Sport and Social Club.
Whether you want to get in shape, meet some new friends, or just want to do something fun, the Calgary Sport and Social Club has the league for you. Choose from 15 different sports, including floor hockey, slow pitch, and dodgeball. Visit CalgarySportsClub.com.
Why do you play?
At Lexus of Calgary, we aim to remove all inconvenience associated with purchasing and owning a vehicle. Book a test drive online and let us handle the rest. We can bring the vehicle to your home or office for your very own personalized vehicle demonstration. You deserve Lexus of Calgary VIP service.
At Lexus of Calgary, it's about more than just the vehicle. It's about the experience. Lease the RX 350 F Sport for $649 a month with $8,290 down. Visit LexusOfCalgary.com for details.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary's home for the Flames in the National Hockey League. Weekdays on the drive home, Rob Kerr has 60 minutes of must-hear radio 5 to 6 p.m. Get the inside stuff from Rob Kerr and the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and other special guests. Find out what is up with the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960's Inside Hockey is for Calgary Co-op. Become a Co-op member for a loonie and receive a signing bonus full of benefits, including an annual member refund. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Weekday mornings on your way into work at 8.05 a.m. Find out what's happening behind the scenes with the Calgary Flames. Eric Wills is on the Flames beat in the dressing room on the road with the guys. If it's happening on or off the ice, he knows it first. Clear, concise, and easy to understand. Eric Wills talks Calgary Flames with Boomer. Flames Inside Intel with Eric Wills. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Check out Varsity's all-out clear-out event on now or go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. Proud to be home for the Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960.
We talked to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960.
Hockey Central at Noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central is brought to you by Boston Pizza.
Bruce Dobigan with you, the Doughboy, all week. Rob Kerr returns on Monday. He is off somewhere in Montana, wandering around, spending the reading week with his kids, no doubt. Coming up this hour, Brad Treliving. Interesting discussion about a signing today. Calgary Flames signing a seventh-round pick. Typically, seventh-round picks aren't guys who end up being guys who get signed. They're kind of projects. You sort of say, well, let's see how it goes. But Austin Carroll of the Victoria Royals is got himself a contract. And so we'll hear from Brad Treliving a little bit later this hour talking about that and lots more with the development of players in the Calgary Flames system. 1 o'clock, Greg Zahn joins us to talk Blue Jays as we are about 10 days away from the start of the Major League season, around the NHL at 125. And then we'll hear some more from the Flames who are now winging their way to Minnesota for a game tomorrow night, a 6 p.m. puck drop here on the Fan 960 as they face the Minnesota Wild. Carey Ramo getting another start. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I had a discussion the other day with John Shannon of Sportsnet. We were talking about contrasting the Winnipeg Jets and the Vancouver Canucks. An interesting point, he said, you know, the Winnipeg Jets know who they are. They have an identity. They know what they're doing. They're the team that seems to, you know, is built around an image. And for the first period of the game the other night against the Vancouver Canucks, they sure looked like a team that was sure of its image. The Vancouver Canucks, said John Shannon, he said, I'm not really sure what their image is. I'm not sure they know what their image is. And you look at the statistics, 10th overall in goals, 18th in goals against, 20th in power play percentage. You know, nothing kind of jumps out at you except the fact that the Canucks are sitting there with 90 points. They're ahead of the Flames. They look relatively comfortable for a postseason berth. I don't know that a lot of people thought that at the start of the season. Certainly I didn't. One of our good friends from Vancouver, though, who's been following them and who has a better read than I do, our buddy Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province joins us. How you doing, Ben?
I'm well. You know, Mr. Shannon, I think he's absolutely right. you know, on a given night, Bruce, we don't know quite what to expect from this bunch. I mean, they get jacked up to play the elite, and maybe it's a problem of sustainability because they can go and play a bottom feeder the next day and not measure up. So, you know, that's been the constant challenge here, I think, with an aging roster. You're trying to get back to the playoffs. You're trying to retool on the fly. The one constant, I do think, has been good goaltending and the fact that they do play pretty hard for Willie DeJardins. Most nights get a pretty honest effort. And, you know, I referenced the game Saturday afternoon in L.A. where they, you know, finally slayed the monster, for lack of a better term. And then, you know, they go to Arizona and they have to find a way. I mean, they did throw 44 pucks at Mike Smith and found a way to win. But I agree with John. It's still kind of finding their way here. But I don't think too many of us thought they'd be in this position right now. I thought they'd be playing meaningful games in March, scratch and claw, try to get into maybe a wild card position. But they're poised right now to do better than that. But there's lots of hockey left to play. And they got a team in here tonight that's pretty fleet of foot and can cause them some trouble.
Is this the last rattle of the 11 team, or can you see a transition? Have guys like Horvat and Lack and the kind of guys who come into the organization, did they mean that this is a team that's starting to find its transition?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's a great point. And you referenced Bo Horvat there. And I think Horvat is a perfect example of a Willie Desjardins club. I mean, every coach talks about playing four lines, right? I mean, they all talk about it in September. We're going to play four lines. We're going to play four lines. Well, as soon as they fall behind, they shorten the bench. That hasn't happened here. The fourth liners can play anywhere from 10 to 14 minutes a night. And Bo Horvat was a kid who came in with a, you know, pretty decent credibility in terms of being able to play a 200-foot game, but very responsible in his own zone. He's their best face-off guy. But, you know, all that has transitioned because he was thrown into the deep end of the pool in November. I remember being on road trips where, you know, Willie would throw him out against Getzlaff or Kopitar, and he'd have to learn on the fly taking face-offs against some of the best guys. But the thing about Horvat is he gained a lot of confidence from winning those draws. And after the All-Star break, it became one of those scenarios where instead of dumping the puck in, he was carrying it in. And the big knock on Horvat the last number of years has been his foot speed, and he's worked relentlessly at it the last number of summers in London with two power skating instructors. And, you know, I referenced a goal earlier this month where, you know, there was a loose puck and he kind of had the edge on Brett Burns, who can move pretty good for a big guy, and he went by him like a hoop around a barrel, dragged a bouncing puck across the top of the crease, waited for the goalie to commit and chipped it the other way. I mean, that's skill. So, you know, long story short, the commitment to playing four lines has really helped the Canucks. The Sedins are under 19 minutes a night, and that's incredibly important. I mean, they've got 66 and 65 points respectively. Daniel just one up on his brother. I mean, I think a lot of us here, Bruce, thought that, you know, 60 points might be a struggle. Well, they're on pace for 75. Yep. So you get them playing some measured minutes, and whether it's Cassian or Verbata or Burrows on that first line, they're able to do something there. And Verbata has been probably the best off-season free agent signing I can think of in the NHL with his 29 goals. So, yeah, they're in transition, but it's the core from 2011. I think that's, you know, the guys are still around. They remember what that was all about, but it's certainly a team in transition.
Talk with Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province about them, their Canucks. I don't think I have to tell you that the trade that Bo Horvat came to the Canucks in was a slightly controversial one. 2 years ago, it was Luongo Schneider. Then they had no goalies. And now Eddie Lack seems to have answered that question. I don't think anybody's quite so upset about the trading of Schneider and having Horvat on the team now. He certainly has bailed out Mike Gillis is gone, but he's bailing out Mike Gillis's decision to a certain extent.
Well, yeah, and I think Mike deserves some props here. I mean, you know, at the time I was at that draft, and we all, you know, I mean, the common refrain was that's all they got for Corey Schneider. But it was a difficult situation at the time. It was heavy pressure from ownership to move a goaltender. And at that time, there wasn't new ownership in Florida yet. They couldn't move Roberto Luongo. And the owner wasn't going to carry 9.3 on the cap, having one guy sitting on the bench with an iPad watching the game. That just wasn't going to play itself out. So a credit to Gillis with Bo Horvat, obviously very familiar with the player. But and for Bo, too, you know, I mean, all he ever heard was, you're the guy that we got. Yeah. And Willie Desjardins said he wasn't crazy about having a 19-year-old on his roster this year. If you're trying to get back to the playoffs, how are you going to play this kid every night? And he was convinced. Jim Benning said, no, you know what, we need to develop this kid. And he's the first to tell you that was a pretty wise move. So there's that. And, you know, Eddie Lack he's kind of transitioned into a guy who learned so much last year, you know, being thrown into the mix there. And when Roberto was actually traded, playing 41 games and 19 straight starts down the stretch and maybe getting obviously a little bit fatigued and hurting his back near the end of the year. I think he's in a much better place this year. There's the way the schedule works. There's more time for getting his reps in with goalie coach Willie Melanson. Obviously, he's a little bit more mature. And, you know, there's depth in the organization, too. I mean, Ryan Miller is back on the ice, working before practices in full equipment. He's not taking shots, but he's doing those movements, you know, the butterfly post to post, just to see where that knee's at, whether it's there's a pain element there right now or just trying to strengthen that ligament. He's probably in a situation, I would say, the last week of the regular season to start practicing full out with the club. So, you know, he's an option in the postseason, but the way Eddie's playing, that's not a problem. And Jacob Markstrom is up here now, probably the best goaltender in the American Hockey League. So there's a little bit of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to goaltending. And I certainly think that they would try to move Markstrom in the offseason.
talking to Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province. I think it's fair to say that the relationship of the fans to the team is it's about as stormy as Liz Taylor and Richard Burton was in the day, back and forth. Yeah. You know, have the fans of Vancouver, with the success this year, have they forgiven them for what happened last year, or are they still kind of holding back? Are they still, is there still some trepidation? They just don't want to give their heart to this team.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I think that there's no question that the hiring of Trevor Linden was part getting a guy who's been around the franchise forever involved. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to sell tickets. And the one thing that you'll notice at Canuck games are empty seats in the lower bowl. And that's just not the odd seat. You can go to a game on any night. And when you don't make the playoffs, and the previous year you go out and you get swept, and the previous year you go out in five, yeah, there's some apathy here. But I think the product is probably more entertaining than it was a year ago. But the fans, they need to make the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of goodwill in the community in terms of the message they're trying to send out and, you know, rescue the brand from pretty much being torched last year. So there's work to do here. And it's been a nice story to this point, but they got to get to the postseason. They got to at least get in and give the fans reason to re-up, because it's that time of year. And and certainly getting one of the, you know, getting the second or third seed is probably way more imperative than scratching and clawing and getting into, you know, a wild card spot and getting a bad matchup in the first round.
Really? Well, it surprises me a little bit, because I think a lot of people, even in Vancouver, thought this team wouldn't make the playoffs, and anything that they've had this year has been gravy. But, well, the standards are a little bit different when it comes to the Rogers Arena sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, there's not a great history here. I mean, the funny thing tonight is they're wearing the Vancouver Millionaires jerseys from 1915, and it's to the day that team actually won the Stanley Cup. So there's pretty good chortling going around the hockey community today about the Canucks actually recognizing that team from 1915, because, you know, it's kind of like the Chicago Cubs around here trying to figure out when you can actually slay all your demons and raise that thing. But, yeah, you've got ownership here that there's pretty heavy pressure on Jim Benning to get back to the playoffs and try to bring some people along. So I think what you'll see here is a continual process here. I wouldn't be surprised if a young Mr. Jake Virtanen, who's one of the best players in the Western Hockey League that you guys know all about, isn't developed at this level next year. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, they certainly need it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time that they've won the Millionaires jerseys since the outdoor game last year where John Tortorella blew up the franchise?
No, they're actually 0-2 in the lovely khaki pants. There was the Heritage Classic, and there was an earlier game where David Booth blew out his knee. So they're 0-2, and they're 0-2. They lost Daniel Sedin in that game at the Heritage Classic with a hamstring, and then they lost David Booth with a knee injury in a previous loss. So they're 0-2 in those jerseys, and we'll see what happens tonight. But it's kind of funny. It's nice that they're honoring them, but, you know, talk to the players. There's something about khaki pants. Maybe that's the curse.
Get a little karma going. Well, there you go. Listen, Ben, as always, Michigan, I appreciate the time.
Unless you're coaching Michigan's football team, then you're allowed to wear khaki pants. Apparently that new coach likes khaki pants, so there you go.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we'll hear a lot about him coming up, too. Hey, listen, as always, man, it's good to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a while, and we'll have to touch base sooner than later, and appreciate the time today.
Yeah, anytime, Bruce. Take care.
There you go, Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province, getting us up to date on the Canucks. Yeah, the last time they wore them, though, was the Roberto Luongo Memorial game last year, where Roberto Luongo was supposed to start the outdoor game and John Tortorella had that brainwave. You know, everybody in the world wants to see Luongo play this game right after the Olympics. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start the other guy. And that was the final explosion in the Vancouver Canucks of last season. Hopefully they've gotten the bad karma out of them. Still good karma around the Calgary Flames, in spite of the fact that last night they didn't get 2 points, only got one. But there were some moments where you had to just laugh, watching the team make the comeback, getting down 2-0, boom, right away back to 2-2 all. So there's some good karma around the team, and there's some good prospects and some good things happening in the farm system. After the skate this morning, Brad Treleaving, rather, had a chance to address the media. When we come back, we're going to hear from him about a young man who they just signed today from the Victoria hockey team, a big kid, and we'll hear about him, and we'll hear about some of the other prospects in the system. Bruce Dobigan with you. We're back after this.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, proud home of the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League. We've got your way into the Dome for every Flames home game. Fan Club members, use your points to enter to win great seats to Flames hockey. Enter often, it's easy and free. Sportsnet.ca/960 to become a Fan Club member. Flames tickets from Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
When making the decision to buy, one must ask themselves, do you want to own a home or have the bank own you? With condos and townhomes in New Brighton starting in the low 200s, The Elements by Cedar Glen Living gives you ownership without the high cost. Equipped with quartz countertops, engineered laminate, front load washer dryer, stainless steel appliances, and more. Quality homes, uncompromising standards, affordable living. Visit The Elements by Cedar Glen Living. Show home at 1075 New Brighton Drive Southeast.
Hi, I'm Peter Marr. Are you thinking about a new roof this year? Are you concerned about hail damage? Do you want to do it once and not worry about it again? Not long ago, I replaced my own roof with EuroShield's EuroLite Shake, and I no longer worry about my roof. It comes in great-looking slate and shake profiles, has the highest rating attainable against hail impact, and comes with a lifetime warranty. And you can put that in the win column.
Visit EuroShield Rubber Roofing at EuroShieldRoofing.com.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to be home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. When the Flames are on the road, our home away from the Dome is Shag Sports Grill. Two great locations, Crowfoot in the northwest and on McLeod Trail south. You know Shag's, the best hockey atmosphere in Calgary. Join Pat Steinberg for every Flames road game at Shag Sports Grill on McLeod Trail south. Every seat is a great seat at Shag's. All those big screens, you gotta be there to cheer your Flames on when they're on the road. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary Flames Radio. Their passion, their will, their determination has brought them here. Now, as the world comes together, the biggest superstars and divas collide for the biggest event in live entertainment. This is WrestleMania. Watch WrestleMania live on the WWE Network for only $11.99 per month. Now available across Canada. Call your local TV service provider or visit WWE.com/Canada.
Can a truck make you more handsome, more dependable, more rugged? Shaw GMC is here to tell you yes. Truck guys are 85% more handsome, 76% more resourceful, and 100% more likely to have an awesome pet. Lifted, loaded, or low payments, we have the truck for you. Save up to $14,000 on select trucks. Own a brand new 4x4 CR for just $92 weekly. Do what you want, when you want, in a truck from Shaw GMC, Alberta's top GMC truck dealer. Are you a truck guy? Visit youknowyouwantatruck.ca.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary's home for the Flames in the National Hockey League. Weekdays on the drive home, Rob Kerr has 60 minutes of must-hear radio 5 to 6 p.m. Get the inside stuff from Rob Kerr and the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and other special guests. Find out what is up with the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960's Inside Hockey is for Calgary Co-op. Grab tickets to the next Flames home game at Calgary Co-op. Second level tickets start at $39.95 plus tax. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hockey Central at noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Bruce Dovigan with you. Rob Kerr comes back next Monday. He'll help take you through the road trip. Starts tomorrow night in Minnesota. Kari Ramo getting the call as the Flames start a do-or-die five-game road trip. Sunday in Nashville, Monday in Dallas. They get a couple of days off, and then Thursday against the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis. That'll be a tough one. And then they finish off on the Saturday in Edmonton against them Oilers. 2 points sitting there, that's for sure. That's 2 points you're going to want to come away with. Interesting road trip heading up. One of the great things this season for the Flames has been the appearance of young guys showing up from the system, taking on roles, showing they're ready for roles. Some guys who we thought might be here, they still down in the A, still playing maybe, learning their craft, etc. But I think you have to say that where the Flames farm system sits at the moment is in a pretty good place. And one of the indications of that today, the signing of forward Austin Carroll from the Victoria Royals of the WHL. He's a native of Scottsdale, Arizona. Calgarians know that place pretty well. Four seasons with the Royals, drafted by the Flames in the seventh round of the 14 NHL entry draft. 69 games during this season so far. Leads Victoria in points, goals, penalty minutes, and plus-minus. Sounds like the kind of guy you like on your team. And certainly like his size, 6'3", 214 pounds. Sounds like a guy who can probably handle the heavy going. This afternoon, Brad Treliving, the general manager, met the media after the skate, and he was asked about the signing today.
As you all know, we announced the signing of Austin Carroll today. Austin was a seventh-round pick last year. And really has had a great year. Going back even to training camp, came in and had an impressive camp through Penticton rookie camp. I think he got into one or two exhibition games. But really, he left an impression through camp. And then the message for him was to go back and really you work on a few things in terms of going back to Victoria, but have a good year. And he's done that. At times been a dominant player in Victoria, now getting ready for the playoffs there. So well-deserving of the contract here today. Questions?
Is this the time of year we can expect these to come in bunches, or what's the timing on this?
Yeah, I mean, they're all a little bit cyclical. You know, it's as some of the seasons are winding down, and each has got a little bit different. There's a little bit of uniqueness to it. Like in Austin's case, we had made the decision a little while ago to sign him. Now because of his age, his a contract that would count if signed prior to March 2nd, he would count towards this season. So we wanted to get into a situation where it's a futures contract and didn't count to our number of 50 for this year. But everyone's a little bit different. Obviously we signed Kenny Morrison a week ago, player whose season had just ended. So yeah, it's a little bit of a function of timing, and we'll see how the next days and weeks go if we have any more.
I know he's a little older, but to have a seventh rounder at least pan out to be worth signing, is that credit to him, credit to the scouts?
Well, absolutely. Credit to him. He's put the work in, and as I said to our scouts the other day on the phone, credit to the scouts. This is, thus far, we'll see where it goes, but this looks to be a real good seventh-round pick. Big guy. I mean, this is a big, strong guy, and it's not just a big body. He can play, too. You know, he's close to 40 goals this year, has got a great release, and to me, he's just starting to develop. You know, he's gone through some things. I think his story is, known here through camp. You know, went through a really difficult time losing his father and really, put his lost a year, quite frankly. But a great kid. It's funny, I got to know him a little bit. He's spent some time in Phoenix, grew up in the Phoenix area when I was down there. But I really credit our scouts to being able to. We got into the seventh round, and there was a fist fight. There was going to be a fist fight at the table if he wasn't selected from one of our Western guys. So we took him.
Any chance he'll join Adirondack in an ATO?
Yeah, that would be the plan, depending on when his season's done. You know, they're starting their playoffs. I think it's tomorrow night, they play Prince George. So depending on timing and everything, but if once their season wraps up. But we want him focusing on his playoffs. You know, I talked to Austin the other day. I said that, you get this contract signed, it's a credit, and it's exciting for them, but there's hockey left, in Victoria, and they've got a chance to maybe do something there. So that's his focus right now.
How has he benefited from having Dave Lowry as his coach?
Yeah, really. Yeah, I think we've done a really good job with him. That was part of it going back. You know, when he came to camp and we did have some discussion about, because of his age, he was able to go to the American Hockey League this year or could turn pro this year. The thought process was let him go back and really have a year where he could be a dominant player and take on other, be a leader of that team and experience some things that maybe he hadn't, as well as, play another year under Dave, who I think is a terrific coach. So Dave, I think, has done a wonderful job in his development.
Brad, what kind of progression have you seen in his foot speed from the start of the year?
It's been good. And, he's like a lot of those big bodies, and this guy's a big man and an ornery son of a gun, which is we like. But is he, not only progression this year, but even going back 2 years with this guy, you know, it's come. And you got to be careful with skating. Skating is such an important part here, but it can get better. You know, it can, and that's going to be his. You know, we're going to have a plan for him over the course of the summer to continue to, you know, get stronger, but lean out, but increase his quickness. You know, Austin's one of these guys. I think once he's in motion, he's good. It's getting those first couple of steps, and knowing how quick the game is. But if we can get that, again, you know, there's going to be, these are young guys that take time. You guys hear me say that all the time. But there's an interesting package here of, you know, the size, bite, and some ability here that we're intrigued by.
Are you going to be with the team for the next week or so? Or
I'm bouncing around. I'm going to be bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to do a little scouting and doing a little, you know, I'll be back and forth and, you know, just, you know, it's obviously an important time, very important time for us. And you want to be around the team. And there's also some games you want to see as we prepare for the draft and playoffs going on. So, yeah, my travel agent's going to give them a nightmare here the next little bit, mm-hmm. probably.
I guess I was just going to say, what can you say about John Gillies? I know he's playing this weekend and he's an attractive prospect.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot I can say. He's obviously, they play on Saturday. They've got Miami. I don't know how they drew a home game out of that deal, but they got, so, you know, we wish them the best. We've got the three young guys there. John's a terrific, terrific prospect. And, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We wish them best, and hopefully they can get on a bit of a run here.
I just want to ask you about the upcoming road trip for this team. And when the schedule came out, you saw this road trip. I guess you don't mind it potentially being a make or break at this point in the season.
Yeah, we've been in sort of this mode for a while. I mean, there was a road trip a few weeks ago that was make or break. There's a road trip, but I remember a road trip in October being make or break. So you know what? We as we've been doing, we got one game. That's tomorrow night in Mini, and that's the focus. And let's dive into that one, and then we'll worry about the next ones as they come. So I can't get too far ahead of ourselves. This isn't a five-game road trip. We've got one game five times, and that's the way we have to look at it right now. Not anything more, not anything less. We got to park each game, grab as many points as we can, and see where it total them up at the end of the year, and see where it ends up at.
We know how Bob is sort of. Relayed how he's scoreboard watching. What's it like for a GM having to watch?
Broke my TV a couple nights ago, so there's no more scoreboard watching. You know what? It's you watch the games. I think it's dangerous to get into. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to win your games, right? Like you have to get your points. As much as it's you'd like a little help here and there. Everybody's playing well. You can't let it affect you. So much of this game is mental and. You know, you get, you know, as a city, I think we're putting on different teams' jerseys each night and rooting for them. And that's part of it. That's part of the fun and the excitement. But you can't let that ultimately, if you take care of your business, you know, usually you're gonna look after it. So, you swear and yell at the TV most nights. But, hey, that's part of it. But I don't think you got to be careful because that, you know, you can come to work the next day with a frown on because team XYZ lost and you didn't even play. So you got to worry about, we got to just take care of our own business.
So you're wearing your Islanders, your Montreal jersey?
I don't know. I don't even know whose jersey anymore. We said at the beginning of the year, like, it's so competitive out here. Like, it's, you know, team last night that's fighting for their lives in doubt. That's a good hockey team. And they're, you know, so it's every night's like that. So you got to park. You can have brain damage worrying about all the different gyrations and if who beats who and looking out of town. Let's just focus on ourselves. Today's a good day to, you know, get our bodies and minds right and get ready for tomorrow night.
There you go, Brad Treleaving, general manager of your Calgary Flames, talking a little bit about the news. Are we gonna have the? Our friend Mr. Carroll is going to be joining us. 2:25. There you go. So you'll be able to hear from the man himself. I hear it's his birthday. Nice little birthday present. You're signing with an NHL team. A seventh-round pick. That's got to be seen as an accomplishment for the organization, being able to get guys picked that low in the draft, signed for the Major League roster. When we come back, baseball season, it's not that far away. April 6th, Blue Jays open up in New York City. April 13th at home is the home opener against the Tampa Bay Rays. Our good friend Greg Zahn's going to join us and talk a little bit about I'm wondering if he still gets excited about the start of the year. I mean, baseball players always get excited about the start of the year. Now that he's a broadcaster and he watches the team, does he still get the same sort of thing, or is he now just like all us cynical media guys who just sit back and wait for it all to happen? When we come back, Greg Zahn talking about that and much, much more on The Big Show. Bruce Dobigan with you, back after this.
Every hit.
He's hammered by Bolo.
Every shot.
What a shot by Mason Raymond.
Every save.
Great glove save by Rommel.
Every goal.
Monahan to Hugo. Monahan, he scores!
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is your home for Calgary Flames hockey.
Back on the road for the Flames Friday night in Minnesota. Pre-game at 5 p.m.